right out from the Bible. We read the Psalms through every month. And I found a difference if I read silently or I read out loud. And I've been wondering about that, but as we were discussing it, the word is in your mouth. And so that really spoke to me too. Now, I also realized that the first years of my life, I used especially my left brain. I didn't react. My emotional brain, in the first months of my life, did not respond. I just observed. And the first thing I remember of my life is I'm laying in a baby crib and I'm looking. Just looking. And it's much later that my emotional side has woken up. And God is using that. Because I can choose. I've chosen to observe life. I observe people. I look at body language. I look at expressions. And it has not been so much, oh, they don't like me or so. No, I just observed. Someone could look angry. Okay, he's angry. I wasn't so much hurt by that because that's where they were. Even when I was still very much bruised and wounded myself, there was a protection there. And I've seen that so many people who have been wounded in their early youth are very vulnerable for the emotions of other people. And I coined a new word, or two words actually together. I bless people with holy indifference. And I really encourage you to seek that. Says, Lord, I just don't want to be indifferent. I want to be wholly indifferent. And that has helped me so much, and also my clients, because some people, you see, are so sensitive. I mean, just someone makes a at the other side of the building and they already are shaking. So they need something to put a distance, a protection. And that comes through blessing, I believe. We can speak these words to them. And often, there are more women in the meetings than men. And I tell the ladies, you know, when you wake up at night and your husband is laying next to you, start quietly blessing him. Now, what's blessing? Blessing is speaking good words in the name of Jesus. So, and sometimes, especially when you feel he needs it extra, because these times are there. So, when you experience that, ask the Lord, Lord, wake me up. And you fall asleep. And you wake up, oh, I'm woken up. Thank you, Lord. And you start blessing. So 5-10 minutes, that's okay. Turn over again and sleep on. And you know, you can speak those words very softly. His ears hear it, but he doesn't have to wake up. And the interesting thing is there is subliminal information coming in. He gets it, but he doesn't know that he's getting it. And women like to talk anyhow, most of them. Most of them. And so, use your voice. God speaks also through your voice. Hey, ladies, wake up. God speaks through your voice. Now, there have been some men who said, Theo, my wife did that. And I did as if I was sleeping. I'd like to hear more of those blessings. Well, that's okay. So, if we can turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's so important to be a priest. Now, in some churches, women are not allowed to preach. And in my denomination, that's also so. But I tell the ladies, hey, listen, that's no problem. Because the sermons, the sermonettes, really, last only 10 minutes on Sunday morning. That's all. But you can work with children, you can work with young people. There are even men who want to listen to you. And then there's perhaps 10% of the church who doesn't want to listen to you. I'll leave them. You still got 90%, so bless you. And then we read in verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. So, there are some days God visits you and people see, wow, what's happening to that person? My brother just told he was a month in the hospital and came out as a changed person. People kept telling him. He said, well, I need to think about my life now. What has changed? Yeah? God visits us. Now, and this visitation of the Lord is so important. And then it comes a new caption, and we stop reading. But that was not originally in the text. It starts at verse 13. Submit yourself as for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorance talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Amazing, isn't it? And then he goes on. Slaves. Well, what does he say about slaves? Well, slaves. Submit yourself to your master with all respect. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it that your credit is... How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threat. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Go straight on. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. In the same way, what same way? What is? In the same way, like Jesus. Do like Jesus, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. And then you can read on for yourself, but I just skipped to verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate. In the same way as what? Like Jesus. Be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect of the weaker as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Wow. Ladies, you've got a wonderful helper here. When you see that your husband is not obeying the Lord, you talk to God, says, Lord, you promised not to hear his prayers. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord. You're doing something. He's crying out to you, but you are not answering because he's not submitting to you. That's also a form of blessing. You see, God called us as royal priests. Men, women, young and old. Also young kids can be priests. I think of a 12-year-old boy who was last year in the 20-year fest of KISSI, Kids Singing. K-I-S-I and then .AT. You can find it there. Kids Singing in Austria. And they even have got an English section, so you can read it. And the cardinal, Cardinal Sherborne, had invited us to come to his residence, and we had refreshments there after that they had sang in a mass. And he said to these kids, so between 4 and 17 or 18, he said, I hear you talking about blessing. What's going on? Because blessing is really something what the priests do, you see. Even when Vatican II has said, we all are priests and we all can do it. No, the hierarchy doesn't let go so much of that authority. Well, there is a battle there. And, well, then the young boy, a young boy stepped up. He's 12 years old. He says, you know, sometimes we are nervous and we have to sing a song in a musical because the wife of the leader of this group is a great artist and she has written 18 musicals and they're wonderful. But yeah, when we are nervous, then we get together, we bless each other, we tell them, you can do it, God is with you. Go ahead, you do it, and we do it. Even a four-year-old, there's one, if you go through the pictures, you can see a four-year-old blessing a bishop. Wow, wonderful. So there is something moving in the world. God's using kids. And please don't say, let's wait, let them grow up, because the world is not waiting. And when you let your kids wait until they choose themselves, the world has invaded them already. So we have to present the gospel to them. We need to talk about them. And they need blessing. So much. I thank God in one way that I was born in 37 and not in 57 or so. Because in my trauma, I couldn't go to drugs. There were no drugs. Yes, there was alcohol, but I couldn't get my hands on that. The social control was too strong. And I started to smoke, but I don't like that. So after 3 weeks, trying to be an adult, you see, because in our church was a little sign and a hang-up, it's not a man who can't smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tried to be a man, you see. But finally I decided, forget it. But I had nothing to take in as a mama. If I had been born in 57, I'm quite sure I would have found marijuana, surely in Holland. And it's tragic what has happened in Holland. And they are now even killing born babies. Yeah, they are too ill to make it anyhow, so they give them a shot. Yeah, that's happening. It's a Dutch protocol, you see. It's tragic. And nobody says a thing. Well, the church, Protestant church, Catholic church, they protest. But they say, oh, you are just out of date. You see, what Hitler did, cleaning out the mental institutions and killing thousands of inmates just by giving them a shot, that's now also happening. when a person is depressed and feels, I don't want to live anymore, they don't have to jump in front of a train, they can go to a doctor. They get a shot and they're dead. It's crazy. But this is our world. And God calls us to bless. You see, the early church, and if you could find some time and read on what happened in the early church, so 200, 200 years, the first 200 years, read about it. Find out what they did. Find out how they lived together. Find out how they handled the internal battles. Very interesting. With so much lessons for us. But they blessed. They went to the garbage heaps, looking if they could hear a voice crying. Because baby girls were often thrown away. And someone had given birth to a baby girl and said, "Whoosh, I don't want that." Hey, listen. You know that in the time of Israel, they had the god Moloch, and the firstborn kids were thrown into the fire. They were burnt alive. It was a big cow with open mouth, and they put a hot fire under that, and they just shoved the baby down that mouth and burned it. It's crazy. But we get him back there, but we can still bless. And what did the Christians do? Well, they had no time to demonstrate, but they took care of the people where they could. Now, I thank God for anyone who stands in front of an abortion clinic. I thank God for any abortion clinic which has to close. I never knew why I was so upset about abortion. My mom died about 10 years ago, and after her death, I heard that when she was 15, she got pregnant of my father, and she got a voluntary abortion. Something was transferred in me. See, the molecules, the information I got, I never understood that. She never talked to me about it, but she talked to the wife of my oldest brother, and she told us afterwards. You see, it is not only blessing, there's also a curse. Because she got a daughter. First my oldest brother was born, then then a young sister was born afterward. And my oldest brother was, she couldn't find him. She started looking. And she found him at some water. He was then two. So she saved him. When she came home, the 9-month-old baby was dead. She has somehow blamed him for that. At least he lived under that curse the rest of his life. And her mother told her, "You will never get another girl." She cursed. There are blessings, you see, but there are also curses. Let's be careful how we use our words. But God has called us to bless, thank God. And we need to recognize authority. Even bad authority. Slaves, obey your husband. Obey your masters. There is a natural triangle relationship which all of us have. It's a result of how sin came in the world. You always have an abuser. You always have an abuser, a victim, and a helper. And the victim needs a helper. And so please be careful that you do not become a helper in such a situation. But how do you do that? Because it's so natural to be drawn into a situation. Well, I was in Uganda, and there a woman said, "I have found Jesus as my savior, but my husband hasn't become a Christian yet. And I know when he goes to other towns, he sleeps there with prostitutes. If I tell him, please stop that, he gets angry and says, okay, you can get going. Take your kids along as well. Where can I go? I have no support. The only job I can do then is I become a prostitute myself. So I showed her this picture. She said, yes. Yes, I know. He is an abuser. He looks for victims. And the victims need a helper. Can you help me, please? I said, yes. There is another triangle. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You need to live in the. You need to live in this triangle of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do not become a part of this evil system. And you need to take this here. And in this way, you can relate to whoever is in your family, but you relate out of God. And so when your husband wants to sleep with you, you can bless him. Speak good words to him. And then there are two possibilities. He likes it or he hates it. Now, I must admit, I've met quite a few men who don't believe in Jesus and their wives do. And they start to bless. I have not met one man yet who said, I didn't like it. Because every man needs to hear good words. And blessing is saying good words in Jesus' name. So the lady simply started to say good words in Jesus' name. Well, I don't know how it is now with her because I've not been back there. But the principle is true, and I know how it goes with women in Austria. And they bless in Jesus' name. And if a husband says, I don't like it, get moving, then you are suffering for Jesus. Then you have to accept it. But you don't have to become a prostitute. Yes, but I need to eat, don't I? Yeah. Well, I think of one of my teachers in Fuller. He was a missionary in southern India. And he told a true story. He said one of our believers had such a hard time surviving, and he was a day worker. You see, every day when he could buy food for his family. But he had not had money for 3-4 days. And there was no food anymore. And it was breakfast time. And he said, okay, come to the breakfast table. And he prayed, and it was a long prayer. And he thanked God that he had taken care of him all those years. And he said to the Lord, Lord, if it's time for our family to die, we come to you. His neighbor was a Hindu. He heard this prayer. He quietly took a can of milk and put it around the corner. And one of the sons of this man, they were all listening in prayer, you see, but one was looking through his eyes. And he saw somebody standing there in the open door. He opened his eyes wide. He said, Dad, there is milk there. And from that day on, the Lord provided him with food to live. So, but the man was willing to die for Jesus rather than to steal. Now, none of you have ever had an experience, I'm sure, that you had not a cent anymore. We always have something somewhere, right? Well, I've had one time, and a Buddhist monk came to our door, and I said to and he says, sir, can I talk to you? I said, sure, come in. And so he said, really, the reason why I'm here is my mom is very ill. And I don't have money to go and visit her in the northern part of Thailand. And I wondered, could you help me? I looked him straight in the eye. I said, yes, I could. Because I had been counting my money, you see. And we had about 500 baht, that is 10 US dollars. That was all what we had. But nothing anymore. Not in the bank, nothing. I looked at my wife, I said, I said in Dutch to her, this is the chance of our life, to be without a cent. Yeah? See, we hardly ever have that chance. Yes, he said, let's do it. There's still, I've still flour and we can bake pancakes. We make it somehow. And I told him, I said, okay, that's all what I have. He was very grateful. He left. After he had left, my wife said, Theo, did you notice he was homosexual? Huh? No, I hadn't noticed. And I'm so sensitive, but my sensitivity didn't work at all. You know, it's very strange how sometimes you don't notice a thing. So I went to my bedroom, I went to my on my knees and said, please, Lord, forgive. I couldn't even say the word forgive because God spoke, Theo, I didn't want you to know. And he knew that you didn't know. Then he said, hallelujah, blessed innocence. Sometimes, you see, we don't have to know what goes on. We just have to share the gospel. And I shared the gospel with him. He didn't just get my money. He got something on top of that as well. So, there are different ways that God can bless. Well, my poverty didn't last too long because this happened around tea time, around 3 o'clock. And at 7, an American soldier came. He says, Theo, I'm leaving tomorrow. Oh, he says, well, goodbye then. And we chatted a little bit. He said, by the way, I felt that I should give you some money. He gave me $500. Yeah? Great guy. See, God can speak to people. And he has spoken to me too. What to do? But others also got word from the Lord, give it to Theo. Yeah? So, we need to really be open to be a blessing. Now, how can you do that? When you think about how, then you talk about left brain, you see? Well, how could I do that? But you have to practice. And what I suggest is that in about 5 minutes, we're going to form little groups of 3 people. And please look for someone you don't know. So if your husband is there or a good friend and you usually pray, that you can pray with them later. But just share something of your heart with each other. Perhaps you have a simple request. Don't come up with a very long talk. No, what's the one thing you would really God want you to do for you now? Or today, or in this week, or whatever. Just something tangible. And if you can't think of anyone, just ask, well, I'd like a blessing so I can bless someone in this coming week. And it says, Lord, who? Who should I bless? And perhaps there is someone you really don't like. These are excellent people to bless. Because then you tell your eyes, now show blessing. And you see, your eyes obey you. You can even look angry and bless. Ladies, remember. You can say, I don't like this blessing. And listen, I know that's possible in the American culture. Men need a hug. And so if there is any struggle or tension, just go to your partner and hold his hand and say, hey, listen, I don't like this. But you hold his hand. We are one, you see? That's so important, please. You can bless body parts. Jesus spoke to the fever in the mother-in-law of Peter. And she got healed. Jesus said to the fever, get going. And it went. So you can use body parts. You can bless the nose, you can bless the eyes, you can bless the ears. You can bless the feet. Feet are very important. Did I tell last night about what happened in Salzburg? I prayed for a lady's feet? I don't think so, no. I told it this week to some of the people who came in individually, so I don't have all my stories in my mind. And I had a seminar and people came for prayer and things like that, and there was one lady, and she had not come, but she was sitting in the first row, and so I felt the Lord said, Theo, you need to bless her feet. So okay, no problem. You can just always bless a person's feet, right? So I asked her, could I bless your feet? Yes, sure, she said, go ahead. So I knelt down by her feet. I blessed her feet in Jesus' name. And I simply said, feet, sometimes this lady doesn't know where she needs to go. You guide her. That was all. A few days later, she's working in the kitchen cutting vegetables. She's cutting vegetables. And plötzlich her feet turned. She said, now what's happening now? Oh yeah, Theo told my feet to go when they needed to go somewhere. Okay, I'll follow them. She put the knife down. She went up the stairs, came into the bedroom where her baby was, and it was nearly suffocating in a sheet. Can you understand how a wonderful, happy mother me called? It would have died if her feet had not warned her. Now, he's 27. See? So, there is something to it that you bless. Speaking good words. Words have power. You heard about even speaking to water. And how the crystals are different. I mean, it's amazing what the word... I see, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Our mouth is so important. So when you are nice and friendly, wonderful, but please remember, we should be true. How are you doing today? Oh, fine. Hallelujah. Is it really so? Well, yes, but you know I can't just tell everyone my problems. No, that's correct. But perhaps you need to find some other words. You could say, well, you know, I really enjoy the sun because people just say something. See, they're friendly to each other. They don't want to hear all your trouble. Let's be more true to each other. Now, in Europe, we say to a depressed person, what you really need to do is go to America. And be there 2 weeks. And then you need to come back. Because you are the last miracle of God who comes there and visits them. They are so wonderful. Oh, it's so great to see you. Hallelujah. And they take you out and do things. But listen, you need to get back. We have one Dutch missionary in New Guinea. Irian Jaya, is that now? Yes, it's now. And that lady met American missionary. Oh, it's so wonderful that you're here, and you're so great. And so, this lady felt so good. So she went again. And again. And again. And this American lady said, I don't know what's wrong with the Dutch lady, but she comes always visiting. And this lady heard that from the friend. She was so wounded. You see, there can be something in culture that really wounds. Now, if you're from the same culture, you see, you ping, I pong. And we keep the ball on the table. That's okay. But then there comes another person from another culture. Be careful. We need the missionary gift, friends. And a missionary gift helps people to be able to come into another culture without losing your own culture. And God gave me that gift, hallelujah. So I enjoy it here in America. And I learned to enter into the culture of abuse. I came home because I grew up in this triangle. And there was always an abuser around. And there was always a victim. There was always a helper. So I got into high school. And the first day, I had trouble with two people. The teacher English and the teacher German. So I decided I'm not going to study German and not going to study English. Can you imagine? Now I'm speaking in English all the time and German. Yeah. So, you see, I saw them as abusers, and I felt I was a victim. I didn't want to. And so I said, phew, I punished them. I don't study. And I was childish, but... And it would be always some other people in the class, too. They would feel the same, and they would... But we need to live out of this triangle of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in our situation, even if you have a job, there will also always be some bossy type person. And you can either say, oh, I need to be careful. Or, phew, what does he think he is? But what does Peter say to slaves? And some of us are slaves, by the way. And in comparison with European labor law, slavery is here normal. I mean, if you don't do exactly what they say, you're fired. And there's no severance pay or whatever. No, just keep going. Well, you shouldn't come like that in Europe. We've got our labor unions, you see. And there's authority. And we have power together. But you can also abuse that. It's the labor unions which now keep businesses down. So they're using the power wrongly. But in one way or another, we are all slaves. And there's always a situation where you say, I wish it could be different. But Peter says, obey and suffer, not because you do bad, but because you do good and you suffer, then it's pleasing to God. It doesn't say that you have to let him just get away with everything. But that should be your basic attitude. Now we are going to have we're going to divide in groups of three, and there's much room here. You can, and you just keep standing. And those three people, what you need to do is, one is ask for a blessing, one takes notes so you can hear and later on read the blessing, and one blesses. So those three positions. And then the one who blesses asks simply, what name of God feels good for you? See, this is so important. You heard it already from Lisa. You see, the name of God is so important because what feels really good for you? And especially when you talk about abused people, see, there sometimes people say, I don't know a good name. Then they make a suggestion. Then they say, could I call God the dove? Yeah, you could do that. Because the Holy Spirit, oh, they've had some problems with him too. Jesus is a man. And Father abused me. I don't know how to talk to God. Then I say, just talk to the dove of God. And I haven't found anyone who said, no, dove I didn't like. So there is always a name you can use. But be creative. And don't need long blessings. And please, keep your eyes open. Now, the one who receives a blessing can close, if you want to, can close the eyes. But some people don't want it. They just keep looking at you, and you look at them, and you pray with your eyes open. Your eyes communicate too, you see. But automatically, some people just get into the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. And they just hear what you're saying, because the words are important. And then, if you have 5 minutes, try to use 1 or 2 minutes in silence. So you start blessing. And says, Lord, what do I say now? And then, nothing is coming. Okay, nothing is coming. I don't say anything either. One time, it happens only one time. There was a student, a theological student in Iceland. I've been explaining how you could bless. And he came to me, he says, Theo, can you bless me? I said, sure. What name of God can I use? He says, you pick anyone, it's okay. And what can I bless? He says, it's okay. He didn't want to say a thing. I stood next to him, and you know, nothing came in my mind, nothing. I stood there for at least 3 minutes. And 3 minutes silence is a long time, let me tell you. I became so uneasy. And finally, there came a cry in my heart. Why? I said it. He looked grateful at me. He said, thank you. And he left. And 10 years I've talked to the Lord about this. And he says, Lord, I don't know where I failed, but I didn't hear anything. I couldn't say anything. God didn't encourage me either. I just lived with that. 10 years later, I meet him again in Iceland. Now he's a very effective pastor and a great street evangelist. He says, Theo, you remember me? I said, I'm so sorry. No. He says, you remember the word why? Oh, you are it. Yes. Now tell me what happened. He said, Theo, that one word expressed everything in my life. All my questions I had to God. I suddenly realized God understands me. And that's all what I needed. And I left. So I don't hope that it's going to happen now, but even if it happens, it's okay. You see, you don't have to say anything. You could just say, I bless you, and that's it. Let God speak through you. Open your heart. Okay, find 3 people. Huh? Oh, yes, after 10 minutes, you need to switch. So the one who takes notes also watch the time. And perhaps you are finished before 10 minutes. You can switch quicker, that's okay. But it should not last longer than a half an hour. So if you can, 10 minutes past 12, you can come back here. Then we come and then we can share a little bit what has happened. and we come to a conclusion. Okay? Yeah? Yes. Everyone gets blessed. Everyone takes notes. And everyone blesses. Yes? So go ahead. Find a place. Some people can stay here. Some people walk down the hall. That's all okay.